The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Ronan Glynn, Deputy Chief Medical Officer. Good morning.
Good morning, Jonathan. How are you doing?
I'm well. Ronan, there are many questions we need to get through. The first of which is the availability of the PCR. And I understand that public health teams are flat out administering them right now, nearly 30,000 a day, which is the highest it has been at any point during the pandemic. But for the people right now who are worried and who may be symptomatic and are being told not to take an antigen test but to get a PCR, what do you say? Because there's a huge amount of frustration at being unable to book a test using the online system.
Sure. So I think the first thing to say is that the frustration is obviously understandable. Anyone with symptoms, myself included, wants to get a test and wants to understand whether we have COVID or not at a point in time. That said, I think we need to take a step back and but there's two key messages I think that I want to get across to people around this. The first is that from our data, it appears that somewhere between 10 and 20% of adults and children in this country in the last week have had flu or cold-like or COVID-like symptoms. So that's about 700,000 people in the past week who've had symptoms. There's no testing system in the world that's going to be able to service that demand. So at a point in time, the system is going to have to prioritise according to clinical criteria. And of course, we're trying to up the testing and get as many people tested as quickly as possible. But ultimately, the test is not the public health intervention. The test is not the thing that makes the difference, either to the management of the individual or to the management of the disease at the population level. I know it's frustrating, but ultimately what we need people to do is to stay at home as soon as they get any symptoms suggestive of COVID. And yes, it may take a number of days to get a PCR test, but the key point is that even if a PCR test is negative, that does not mean that the advice is not that once you get a negative PCR test that your children can go to school, that you can go back into the workplace, that you can socialise. The key advice is that anyone with symptoms needs to stay at home for 48 hours after their symptoms have settled. And so realistically, for most people who wake up with a cough or wake up with new symptoms, they're looking at 4 or 5 days at home at a minimum anyway, regardless of the result of any PCR test.
And that's very clear, Ronan, and I appreciate you clarifying that. But the message on antigen tests is garbled, because what you're saying to people is, if you're a close contact, we're going to post out antigen tests to you and you take them for a couple of days and we trust you that you're going to do that there. If somebody has symptoms, they cannot get a PCR test. They're up to 90 that they might have COVID and you're telling them not to use an antigen test. Where is the logic there?
Thanks for asking that question, because I think this is a key point of confusion. So there's this kind of false assertion that we don't trust people to use these properly. So if possible, I want to put that to bed in this conversation. It's not that we don't trust people to use them properly. It's that our data is telling us that people are not using them properly. So we know that last week, about 1 in 5 people in the country used an antigen test. We know that last week, 68% of adults with symptoms took an antigen test. So that's over 300,000 people. The vast majority of those 300,000 people will have got a negative antigen test. And unfortunately, we know that about 200,000 of those people, so 200,000 people with symptoms, took an antigen test, got a negative result, and then did not isolate or did not get a PCR test. That's why we're so concerned about people using antigen tests, because too many people are interpreting a negative result as implying they do not have COVID-19, and it's leading them to go back out into society. They're not self-isolating and they're not waiting for a PCR test.
Surely the same thing is going to happen then with the antigen test, Ronan. If people are a close contact and they take the antigen test and the test and they don't have it, but they might have it. So like we can't give out antigen tests and believe they work in one circumstance.
The key difference, Jonathan, the key difference there, Jonathan, is that for anyone who's a close contact who gets symptoms, we again recommend that they isolate immediately and get a PCR test. The antigen testing program is for asymptomatic people who are close contacts who have not developed any symptoms.
But you can't get a PCR test, Ronan. The problem is you can't. And like, there's a text on the screen here from one listener. I live in Cork. No available tests in Cork. Rang the GP. She said, I need a test. Mistakenly, the HSE booked me for a test in Dublin. I can't get it changed. The GP is not answering the phone. Well, probably because they're overwhelmed with calls and no response from the HSE. So in that circumstance, surely that person taking an antigen test, even if they know they have to self-isolate, will be of use and of purpose.
If that person takes an antigen test and it tells them that they have COVID-19, they'll still need to get a PCR test. They'll still need to self-isolate.
Yes.
That person has symptoms, I assume. If that person takes an antigen test and it doesn't detect COVID-19, they still need to self-isolate. They still need to get a PCR test. The antigen test doesn't change anything that that person has to do. And please understand, I'm trying to explain the differences and our concerns. I'm not trying at all to minimise the frustration that people are feeling around not being able to get a PCR test. So I'm trying to explain the rationale and the evidence behind our advice, but I'm not trying to minimise the extent to which the frustration is out there around people not getting tests. But again, I think the core message is the test is not the public health intervention. The test is not
stay
the
at
thing
home
that
if
stops
you, have
you passing it on to somebody else. Exactly.
Yeah. On the issue of ramping up, is there more capacity? Can we do more than 30,000 tests a day?
I think ultimately that's a matter for the HSE, and I know that the HSE are actively trying to ramp that up, but they're never going to get to a point where they can test 500,000, 600,000, 700,000 people in a week. We're already testing about 1 in 20 children in our population every week. We're doing an enormous amount of testing. And yes, we will, obviously the HSE will continue to try to ramp it up, but ultimately, until people hear the core message, which is if those 700,000 people hear the core message, that if they have symptoms, they stay at home, that will have the most marked reduction on symptomatology, on the spread of COVID, and on the incidents that we're dealing with in the country.
What's different, Ronan Glynn, now compared to 12 months ago is that this is spreading quite actively amongst children. And we have not been testing. We have not been contact tracing in schools, and we've teachers and we've creche owners constantly getting in touch with the radio station saying it is spreading in the classroom. You know, one person brought it in and now five or six have it. And I know that there is a system in place about antigen testing in schools, and that's welcome. But do you accept now that schools are not as safe as they were at the start of this pandemic?
What I would fully accept is that schools are not as safe now as they were when incidence was lower a number of months ago. And no environment is as safe now as it was then. And we've said all along that when incidence is really high in the community, as it is at the moment, then schools are not as safe as they would otherwise be. And I think, again, this comes down to the terminology. We've never said that schools are a safe environment. We've said they're a lower risk environment. They're a safer environment.
Well, the minister, to be fair, and I know you're not the minister, and the minister can speak for herself, but the minister did say that schools were safe environments, and she said public health told her that.
Well, public health's view is that schools are a safer environment, a lower risk environment than many others. And just to be clear, there was a meeting yesterday of public health doctors around the country who are dealing with cases and outbreaks on the ground. Again, it's not to say that there aren't outbreaks in schools. There are and always have been. It's not to say that cases don't transmit in school. They do and always have done. But the message come across time and again from public health doctors on the ground yesterday was there the two core issues that they're seeing that are leading to issues in school are, number one, the use of antigen tests in children who are symptomatic, and number two, full stop, just children who are symptomatic being picked up as cases in schools. So again, unfortunately, I know it's boring. I know people want something other than this message, but the core message has to be that whether it's a child, a parent, an adult of any age, if you've got symptoms, you need to stay at home to protect yourself and others. This is an avoidable respiratory illness. We don't need to pass this on to other people. We can prevent its spread. The people who are going to get sick with this in December don't need to get sick with this in December. Those infections, the majority of them, have not happened in any age group yet. And the simple measure of staying at home if you're symptomatic can make an enormous difference. secure control of this disease.
I want to get on to boosters in just a minute, but trying to understand what households should do, it's a little bit like opening a new board game on Christmas Day. You don't fully understand the rules and you have to read them up to make sure that you're not getting it wrong. Right now, if you have someone in a house who is a suspected case, so if a parent is a suspected case, for example, does that mean children don't go to school? How does it work? Are the unvaccinated have to stay in? Well, what is the current rationale for people and what should they be doing if there is somebody who is suspected of having COVID or who has COVID in the house?
Well, I think the core message around household contacts is that we want household contacts household contacts are different to contacts in other settings because we know that transmission happens at a much higher rate in household contacts. So typically we see about 1 in 3 contacts of a case in a household ending up becoming positive, which is a much higher rate than any other setting. Yeah. So the core message really is that if you're a household contact, if someone in your house has COVID-19, if you're vaccinated, you will be asked to do antigen tests and to restrict your movements for a number of days. If you're unvaccinated, then we ask you to restrict your movements for 10 days and to get 2 PCR tests. But obviously the HSE will give that advice to.
But as you said earlier, the 700,000 people had symptoms of something last week, whether it be COVID or a cold or whatever. What should the other people in those households do if you haven't got a PCR confirmation that you have COVID?
Well, for now, the advice is that you go about your business. But if someone is going for a test for COVID-19, really the other people in the house need to take all precautions.
And if they can't get it, get a test because the system is full, you see, this is where it's falling back down, Ronan. What's the advice?
Well, ultimately, there's the advice to the individual who's symptomatic to isolate and stay in the room. The other people in the household obviously have to have a very high level index of suspicion and to be very careful. But obviously, as I've said, 700,000 people had symptoms last week. The majority of those people clearly did not have COVID-19 despite the very high incidence of COVID-19 in the community. And we see that, like, even with our positivity rates within the PCR testing system at the moment is about 1 in 5, about 20% positivity. So even the majority of people who are going for PCR testing are not positive on that test.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that there aren't other respiratory illnesses out there that we also want to prevent spread.
You put a lot of faith in the data because, you know, you are a scientist as well as a doctor and data doesn't lie. The problem right now is because of that lack of capacity in the testing system, which is sheerly down to volume. Do you believe that we are getting an accurate reflection of the prevalence of COVID-19 in society? We know the case numbers seem to have plateaued slightly, but not everybody who wants a test is getting a test. So is it possible that COVID is worse in the community than the official data is showing this week?
So we've always known that there's a significant proportion of COVID-19 in the community that's not picked up, either through asymptomatic or very mild cases that don't end up getting tested or picked up into the reporting system. So we know that there's more COVID out there than that we've reported at any point in the pandemic, and that's factored into our modelling around what might happen in the weeks to come. We have seen a slight plateauing in the positivity rates in recent days, but I think it's too early really to read into that. To your specific question, is it possible that there's more COVID out there now than we're picking up because the PCR system is under pressure? It is, but ultimately that's why we don't focus on incidents and case numbers alone. We look in particular on the numbers being admitted to hospitals, the trends in hospitalisation, the trends in admissions to ICU. And I mean, they're the core indicators for us at the moment.
Okay.
And unfortunately, as I said, we're looking at that. There's nearly 700 people, between 600 and 700 people in hospital and 130 people in critical care.
On the issue of the booster rollout, most experts seem to agree that this is the best way that we can deal with this right now, that we can give people an extra bit of immunity through a third, seemingly very effective dose of vaccine. NIAC recommended last week that it can go to anyone over 50. It can go to people with underlying conditions under 50. I would be included in that cohort. And anyone who got the J&J vaccine, well, they too should get a booster sooner rather than later because of concerns over waning immunity. Yet the HSE rollout is still dealing mostly with the over 60s. Why aren't we rolling the boosters out fast enough?
Look, I think the HSE is obviously working to roll boosters out as fast as possible, and over 2 million people now fall under the guidance issued by NIAC already. Look, from our perspective, we need these boosters rolled out as quickly as possible, and I'm sure that'll happen in the weeks ahead. Just to come back to the premise of your question, though, Jonathan, which is that, you know, boosters are the key measure. Boosters are a key measure, but they're not the key measure in the days and weeks ahead. Ultimately, that comes back to what we do as individuals. And part of that is that if there's someone in your family who is due to get a booster in the weeks ahead, then, you know, the message has to be for other people in that family to take particular precautions around them until they do get the benefits of that boosting. One of the things we've seen with boosting is that the protective effects kick in really quickly after you get that extra dose. And so, of course, what we want is everyone in their 60s, everyone in their 70s to get vaccinated as quickly as possible in the weeks ahead. But I might take the opportunity as well to note, like, that we have 7% of the population who haven't got vaccinated at all yet. And just a message to those people that we know there's a variety of different reasons why people haven't come forward. Lots of people have understandable concerns around vaccines. My only plea to those people is to come forward and talk to someone, to ask the questions and raise your concerns. Don't rely on what you're reading on social media. Don't rely on the misinformation that's going around. Just come forward and talk to someone. It's never too late to get vaccinated against this disease.
And obviously, we're not heading in the direction of mandatory vaccines. I know you've said you're long and hard against that idea, unless, I mean, if it becomes absolutely necessary, could we mandate for people to be vaccinated?
I think we need to, you know, we can be slow to celebrate some of the successes that we have in this country across a variety of different topics and areas. I think we have done a remarkable job, and I don't mean the public health authorities, I mean the people, in listening and responding to the messages around vaccination. We've really successful uptake of our primary vaccination programme in this country to date. That was not done through forcing people to get a vaccine. It was done through the provision of information, through transparency, through people's faith in the process that NIAC led.
93% signed up. There's a celebration there, in fact, that so many people did trust the science. Last question, Ronan Glynn. Obviously, you work with NPHET. Will there be more restrictions, do you think?
It's simply too early to say at this stage. Obviously, NPHET will meet tomorrow and we'll look at the data. And there are promising signs in terms of what we can see, in terms of what, you know, people are cancelling events. People are saying that they're altering their plans in the weeks ahead to meet less people and to reduce their social contacts. And ultimately, if people follow through with that, that's going to have a positive impact on the trajectory of this disease. But we need to see what the data looks like tomorrow when we sit down as a NPHET, and we need to come back and look at that again in the days ahead. So I think it's too early at this stage to say what else might be needed, if anything. But again, the core message is that everyone with symptoms in this country isolates and follows the core messages. And if everyone else wears a mask, avoids crowds and tries to reduce their social contacts, and I know none of this is easy, but if everyone can do that over the weeks ahead, that combined will have an enormous impact on this disease.
Deputy Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ronan Glynn, so many text messages have come in that were asking questions that I couldn't quite put you because I needed to get through all the detail that we got through there. Ronan, thank you very much for joining us.